I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
They think
they got the answers. I change the questions.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
Everybody, welcome to the latest edition of the Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman here, my man Dion Harrison. He needs to get a little smile today, so we're going to turn that frown upside down. And our man Dan Rose, Dudley Dan Rose. I haven't been thinking names to call Dan during the week, and it's irking me because it's like a game time decision now. I'm like trying to think of something. Like I know what it should be. Damn, Daniel Rose. How about that? Is that good?
No.
Have you seen those videos?
No.
Dion, you've seen them. Damn, Daniel, with the white vans again. You haven't seen that?
What are you talking
Shut
about?
Shut up! You know, all of our listeners, they're all laughing right now because they know that. Damn, Daniel! But you two apparently don't.
Damn. Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, maybe you should get with the times, you two.
Man, fuck the time.
Boom, right out of the gate. Dion coming in hot.
That's right.
Yeah, well. So, I wanted to start off here real quick talking about the People versus O.J. Simpson. Shit is starting to get real.
Mm-hmm. You ain't lying.
So good.
There was no talking done by David Schwimmer. So that was good.
Yeah, he sucks.
And then how
he does so.
About O.J.'s house was all, like, done up. Nicole's what? Like, if half of the things they're saying are true, which I was reading something that they said, like, all the things that were true and false and what happened and didn't happen. Like, you know that the assistant district attorney? No. Or whoever the guy that had chest pains and passed it. Or as they were talking about. Something in the case, and he was like, ow, my chest. And they're like, we killed him. Like, no, his defense team.
Oh, okay.
And then that was it, and he was done. Like, he didn't just, like, go have a heart attack in the courtroom and was out, you know?
Really?
No, that was fixed.
That sucks.
But, well, it made for good drama, but everything else.
Quit ruining it.
Sorry, Dan, that actually happened.
Thank you. There you go. That's what I like to hear.
That thing with Judge Ito in Arsenio Hall?
Yeah,
That was true.
Who is the guy that the guy that's telling the stories at the table? I missed that.
What guy telling
that
stories?
That rich old white.
That rich old Colonel Sanders looking guy.
Oh. I don't know.
The one Judge Ito showed the Arsenio Hall picture to.
I don't know. He just appeared and was like, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I wasn't paying close enough attention, but he was weird.
So he was just. Yeah. He had one of those, the old white man with the shaky jowls talk.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Glad you like that. But then OJ dropped a bomb on Christopher Darden. Get off my bench.
Get off my bench. I don't want you on my bench.
Wait, what?
Fucking OJ, man.
Hey, man, he didn't want him on his bench.
They're changing
I mean,
his
who
house.
Who would want you on their bench?
Shut up,
man. Yeah, I'm doing the Ric Flair walk right now.
Woo!
Woo! So, did you see Bellator's ratings were up since after the Kimbo Dada fight last week?
Yeah.
Wasn't that one of the highest rated?
The show with Kendall Grove on it. What, had like 775,000 viewers?
Oh, but our boy Kendall, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago that you could check out at the Crimson Can podcast, same place you're listening to this, Kendall Grove freaking beat down France. His name is like Francis France. Some shit like that.
He smoked that guy, man.
He, and I goes, Kendall, where'd you get those hands from? And then, like, the day after his fight, he went and got his,
snip-snip.
He got his snip-snip done, so he can't have any more kids. He's a baby-making machine. And I said,
he's
him,
a great fighter and apparently has very strong sperm.
I was like, yo, even if you get, you know, get snipped, I think your boys are still going to find a way to slip past the goalie. Because they, like, you're throwing a lot of Trojan horses out there, something's getting in, you know? That's Kendall. You got 13 kids. But this will be his eighth, but in like 4 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
No.
He's getting it in.
Dan,
can't be mad at that.
4 years.
You can't have all by the same person?
No, I'm being sarcastic. You can't have eight kids.
I was going to say, you can't have eight kids.
He did have twins.
Mathematically, that's not possible.
You're lying.
Unless you had, like, what is, like, I don't
Listen,
know.
Listen, I did really well in math in high school, and I can tell you one thing. He did not have eight kids in 2 years.
I did not do really well in math in high school.
4 years.
But there you go.
Are you a lousy math person? Because Dion, he's trying to be a math teacher.
Damn.
Yeah, I was horrible at math in high school. And I still am.
Because you didn't have me as your teacher, Dan. If I was your teacher, you would love math. Got you, man. I got you.
Could very well be. I excelled in English and history. And math was kind of like my bugaboo.
I can already see it now, Dion. Class, this is how you do it. I mean, I know a lot of you won't get this, but, you know, I did because I'm me. Give him the little thing, the little shake, the little Dion shake.
The Dion shake.
You know, because I'm like a math genius. No big deal.
No big deal at all.
So, Dan? Mother?
Yes.
Damn it.
There it is. There you are. Sorry, I'm dropping in and out. It's 18.
Yeah.
First. I got to call him again, apparently.
Yeah, your Wi-Fi is garbage, son.
And be like, hey, so like, I dropped 6 times during my show. And they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, sir, you know. Thank you for calling in Tehran, Iran. You know, these sons of bitches. Not even from
America.
We'll
send the tech out to check your line in 3 weeks.
Right?
Sometime tomorrow between noon and next Saturday.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, god damn it. Noon in April.
Don't you guys have Comcast out there?
I don't know. Do we have Comcast out here?
Step up your game. Get the Comcast. High-speed internet. It's awesome.
What do you have, Dan?
I have Comcast, my friend.
That's why your shit's on point.
Yep, great Wi-Fi and great cable television.
Well, that Wi-Fi isn't helping you when you're getting that ass whooped in Words with Friends.
Dude, shut up. Last time you won, you beat me by like 8.
I think you beat me too last time, so whatever, Dan. That's neither here nor there.
That's true.
Let's
not ruin a good story with the truth.
I'm bringing up shit talking, you know, and I'm talking about it, and, you know, you want to believe it's true,
yeah.
Then fine, but, you know, I'm just bringing it up to say that, you know, I'm good at Words with Friends.
God damn it.
Dion's having such a hard time. Does she listen to the show?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, that's good. Holding back the tears.
So we could talk about her. No, we're not going to talk about her. Just come on.
Nobody wants to hear about that shit.
We didn't want to talk about that. We could talk about Raw this past week. And boy, was it the
not
worst
much
episode
to talk about.
Of the year. Shane came back, and Shane wasn't on the next episode.
I think it was like The Walking Dead when they had the season premiere. That episode was so awesome, and, you know, it can't get as good as the last episode, so we got to have
a filler episode.
They
got to slow it down for a minute. But,
yeah.
But you don't have to slow down Raw. Every week needs to be – I mean, come on. Dude, people are paying hard-earned money to be there. You know, they have however many million viewers every week. They got fireworks that are probably like $150,000 for the whole show. And you're going to come out and shit the bed like that?
I picked the wrong week to start writing the Raw report again. Actually, I had to watch every segment so I could write
Ryback and just stop with the whole Ryback, Adam Rose and Ryback. Like,
hey,
really?
Hey, he whipped Adam Rose's ass. I liked it. When the referee had to get him off of him, hey, stop. Stop whipping his ass. Sorry.
Sorry.
You didn't like that, Dan?
It was all right. I mean, I don't like Adam Rose very much. Although, did you see the funny video of Big E about to blow out the candles on his birthday cake, and then Adam Rose comes right up right before he does it and blows them out?
No way.
It's pretty hilarious. It's I saw it today on Twitter. It's basically in slow motion, and they show Big E, he like takes in a big breath, and he's about to blow out his candles, and then all of a sudden you just see Adam Rose's face come in, and he blows the candles out.
Goodness,
and awesome. You just see like Big E's eyes just like close, and then he just like turns and looks at him. It's pretty funny.
Do you follow Big E on Instagram?
I do.
Dude, his videos are hilarious.
Yeah.
Do you follow him, Evan?
No.
You're the worst.
You know how I do it. I'm like, I'm kind of a snob with that kind of shit. Like, people need to follow me, and then I'll follow them.
This
seriously,
so
you don't follow people that don't follow you?
An asshole. There's like a couple of people that I follow that don't follow me, but at one point, like, did, you know, and then stopped. And I'm like, really, dude? And then most of the time, I'll blow them off after that if I find out. I'm like, oh, really?
No,
this is
not
how it is. Yeah, so I'm kind of a Twitter, what's it called? Instagram's different. I'm much more, if I've spoken to you at some point, if you've bought prints from me, if I know you, yeah, I'll follow whoever. But like Twitter is just like, it's just a news feed for me, basically. Like, I can't just be throwing like just people on there. Like, why the fuck am I going to follow that guy? Oh, yeah, because he's famous and I like what he has to say, but I'm still not going to follow him.
I know what you mean. I wish I was that cool. Well, I can, like, oh, I'm not, you ain't going to follow me? Oh, shit, I ain't following you then. I ain't on your level yet, Evan.
One day, when all this Crimson Canvas money starts kicking in, you become,
oh, yeah,
you become big time. And you can do the same thing.
That's right.
You too can be shallow about your Twitter followers.
This is a little. I was in. I saw the Book of Mormon this week.
Nice.
And man, it was real 50-50 for me.
And you love South Park.
What?
Yeah. You, right, Dan? You heard it was hilarious, I bet, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not so much.
There's a lot of solos. You know, it's a musical. It's
yeah.
And I'm just like shit with musicals. Like, I'm for real bad with musicals.
I ain't mad at you.
I like...
Yes, musicals can be a little rough sometimes.
But I think compared to any other musical out there, yeah, it's probably awesome.
I saw Avenue Q a few years ago in Seattle, and I thought that was really, really well done and really hilarious.
I never heard that.
No, it's kind of like a take on Sesame Street. They have, like... Instead of Sesame Street, it's Avenue Q. It's all done with, like, puppets and stuff. But it's dirty and, you know. Like, one of the hit songs from was called The Internet is for Porn.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it was actually really funny. But yeah, Book of Mormon, I don't know, I heard good things. I'm kind of bummed to hear it wasn't wall-to-wall laughs.
It could have been. But I'll tell you what. I went with my wife, my son, a friend of... ours and her son, another friend with the son and daughter, and I sat with all the boys. I coached all the boys, so it was two 13-year-olds and my 14-year-old. And at the first intermission, one of them just looks over to me and goes, "This is overrated." And then he starts playing on his phone the whole second half of it.
I want my money
like,
back,
dude. Like, and it's like all like it, there's a lot of cursing. There's a lot of stuff like that, that you'd think, like, 13-year-olds would dig.
Yeah. Not so much, though, huh?
Or whatever, and they just weren't into it. And people loved it, and everybody stood up at the end. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to stand up. Like, it didn't blow my mind.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there was some funny stuff,
mm-hmm.
but overall, it was a musical. It was a musical about Jesus. and it's like... It's like a Donald Trump musical to me. Like, yeah, man, like, I don't know how much I want to listen to this, you know? It was packed.
Yeah.
Packed.
Were you going in expecting, like, Orgasmo?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. That's
your
problem.
You know why? Because people were like, oh, my God, it's so raunchy, and it's, you know, it's hilarious and raunchy, and it's not appropriate for kids. And I'm like, oh, shit, all right, it's right up my alley. And it was like...
This is going to be good.
It wasn't.
No, that's a bummer.
It wasn't as raunchy. Like I thought it was. Someone's listening to this right now, losing their goddamn mind. Like, motherfucker, that was the best thing I've ever seen! But it was all right. Like, it was all right.
Just like Raw.
But the funny, you know what was funny about it, though? Is they had a, say what?
I just said what. You said, you know what's funny about it, and I said what.
Oh, okay. Was the beginning of the musical, or play, or whatever the fuck you'd call it, and the, so the beginning of it and the beginning of the second part of the show is the only part of the musical where, like, Trey Parker's voice is pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And they're just mouthing it. It's like Jesus and Joseph Smith and whatever. So, you know, it was that part was funny.
Yeah, so there was a couple funny parts, but all in all, not enough to keep you interested for 2 or 2.5 hours, whatever it was.
It was funny enough
it
for
was
me
2.5 hours?
To talk about it on this radio show, basically. That's it.
Well, there you go. I'm waiting for them to do the People versus O.J. Simpson on Broadway.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be awesome.
Starring David Schwimmer as O.J.
Oh, Jesus. Juice, Uncle Juice. Friend of mine, Juice.
So, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm going to play the part of Bob Kardashian.
Ross.
No, Ross.
I bet you WWE could make a Broadway play. It'd be amazing.
Dude, their movies aren't bad.
Easy, let's not get carried away.
The movie with Kane and Oculus.
I don't think that was...
They did
that
movie.
Was that a WWE film? Are you sure?
Positive.
What, Oculus?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, look it up, Dan. You're on your computer right there, baby.
Hold on, let me look it up. I did it so Evan didn't
that's
have
right,
to.
I'm right on my computer right now, and I'm going to look it up.
Don't even have to say it. Shut up, Evan.
Shut up, Evan.
Yeah, it's WWE Studios.
Yeah.
Check that out.
And can I just say for the record, I've never fucking heard of Oculus.
Dude, watch that movie, Dan. It's fucking legit.
You serious? Never heard of Oculus?
Never heard of it in my entire life.
Dude, it's good.
Is it like a scary horror type movie?
Yeah,
I ain't on that shit.
No, watch it, man.
I don't watch those, man.
Are
they
you scared?
They give me nightmares. Fuck yeah, I'm scared.
Get...
If it can have like shit like Friday the 13th and that stuff doesn't really scare me. But, like, things that, like, are supernatural or could actually happen, scare the shit out of me.
Well, this ain't going to actually happen to you.
All right, cool. Then I'll check it out.
But if you have a big-ass mirror in your house...
It could actually happen to you. Is that what you said?
Yeah, like every
house? If
you
got a cursed mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a cursed mirror in your house, it could happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. I'm going to roll the dice and say I don't. Won't I feel like an idiot if I do?
You know who the dad? The dad in Oculus was actually Slater from Dazed and Confused. The biggest stoner in Dazed and Confused.
Rory Cochran, isn't that his name in real life?
That's his real name.
I love that movie, Dazed and Confused.
Me too.
Holy shit, we found another movie that Evan and I both like.
I know. Mark this day.
Well, how? I'm surprised you liked it, Dan.
Oh, it's hilarious. I love
the
it.
The gratuitous drinking and pot smoking.
I'm not against either of those things.
Hey.
I don't do either of them.
Well, I don't either. I don't do it either. I don't drink. I can't drink. My liver's fucked.
Me either.
From all the years of drinking.
Yeah, I wish. It's from a blood infection that I damn near died from.
Fuck.
Yeah, but
just keep complaining about your ex-girlfriend, Dion.
I know, God.
Like, you got problems.
Yeah, shit.
Problem?
Things are rough all over, Dion.
Damn.
Your life is so hard. Dan had a blood infection and almost died. And you're like, today was a hard day.
Now I have permanent like cirrhosis of the liver. I'm gonna die from this like in my fucking 50s probably, Dion.
Oh man.
Yeah, believe that. As soon as that Crimson Canvas gold starts rolling in, I'm gonna be out of there.
Right.
It's gonna be all Evan and you.
Damn. I don't know if I can carry
this. This show would wind up dying because both of us would be like, I'm not recording it.
I'm not editing it.
I'm not editing that. Hell no, I'm not editing that.
Yeah, you don't want to edit it. It sucks.
Look, we're trying to make it as easy as possible for you these days, Dan.
It has been getting easier. I'll give you that.
Yeah, we're not going off subject too much. We're not going off on tangents. We're staying on one subject in particular for a certain amount of time, and then we move on to the next one.
Well, now I'm actually willing to watch Oculus because I do like Rory Cochran quite a bit.
All right, so we're back to Oculus.
Well, I'm just making the point since you brought that up.
Yeah, no, it's a good movie. It's It's entertaining. Yeah. I mean,
have you guys heard of this movie? I'm gonna like ask. I'm not sure what it's called, but the bottom line is it's basically about these friends, and one of the friends commits suicide because there was a video posted of her
unfriended or something like that.
Yeah, have you guys seen that?
Some shit like that. I haven't seen it, but I remember when that movie, they were showing trailers for that movie.
I was like editing the show the other night, and when I do that, I always have my TV on in the background, but I have it on mute.
They don't get you, like, Dan.
Huh?
They don't get you, man.
Unfriended, yeah.
That fucking first that dude, movie, they're about to get your ass tonight.
I looked up a couple times. I was like, what the fuck is this? So I unmuted it, and I watched, like, the last hour. That shit was trippy. I don't recommend it.
You don't,
but it
really?
Was,
it looked horrible. That's why I didn't.
Why, because it was scary, or because?
Yeah,
because
it was scary.
Oh.
Oh, you don't like those scary movies.
I'm
about
to watch
it. Nah, I don't like scary
tonight.
Movies, so.
I know, I'm like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's trippy. I mean, I was like, what?
Okay, if you think that's trippy, nigga, watch.
Get off my bitch. Watch.
Dion gets a little too comfortable on this show, ladies and gentlemen. But
Dion smokes a little too much of the funny stuff.
Watch Oculus.
Watch Oculus.
I will watch Oculus. I like the way he transitions. He drops the N-bomb on me, and then he's like,
it was so, like, quiet and, like, it was flowed really, really smooth and, you know, nobody heard
it. Oh, yeah.
It.
Yeah, nobody heard that. That didn't happen.
I think of OJ now when I see that motherfucker.
Who? John Travolta?
Yeah.
You know what episode I saw the other night of South Park was Tom Cruise in the closet?
Oh, yeah, the Scientology episode?
Yeah, I forgot about how funny it was when John Travolta was on. His oh, my God. Is Elrond? Is he? Elrond.
Because, you know, Raw was so horrible. We talked about it for, like, a minute.
It was horrible, dude. It was horrendous.
The best part of the show. I'm having a great time right now.
I know. And sometimes when Raw sucks and there's,
you know what,
nothing really to talk about, you have to talk about other shit.
Fuck you,
although,
Monday Night Raw.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Was there a UFC last weekend? I don't even know.
But there was one this weekend.
There was. There was, wasn't there? Yeah, it was Bisping and Anderson Silva.
Oh, yeah.
Should we talk about that? Or
I don't really want to.
Fuck the theme.
But, I mean, we can if you want. We can talk about Diaz and Conor McGregor.
You amped for that fight?
Hell yeah, I'm amped for that fight.
Saturday?
I think that Dion. I think that Diaz is going to get his ass kicked, but I'll probably be very entertained. And I'm actually looking forward to the Holly Holm, Misha Tate fight. There's a lot of fights on that show that are pretty legit.
Yeah.
Who do you think's winning?
Well, I think Conor McGregor is going to smoke Diaz.
In what round?
First.
You think first round? What, knockout?
Round. Yeah, well, TKO probably. I think he'll sting him and fall him down to the ground, and it'll be like a TKO.
Damn.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I know. you don't think Nate Diaz gets stopped and all that stuff.
No,
but
I mean, I don't know. I just am looking forward to a good fight. I hope everybody to just come back to reality. I mean, Conor McGregor, this whole, like, he's the greatest fighter ever thing needs to be, like, really slowed down a bit. You know, like, I want things to be a little more realistic, like, that he's human. I think that he's really, like, not gotten lucky, but he...
Well, I mean,
really,
I don't...
Everything has worked out extremely well in his favor, and I'm ready for... What, Dan?
Well, maybe this will be that. I was just going to say, I don't think that Conor McGregor is, like, the greatest thing in the history of the world or anything like that, but I just think that styles make fights, and this is a really stylistically a bad fight for Nate, unless he's smart about it and takes the fight to the ground and utilizes his jiu-jitsu advantage, but he won't. He'll stand and bang because that's what the Diazes do, and I think that he's just ill-equipped. I think he's going to get out-punched, out-kicked. I just don't think it's going to go well for him at all.
But, I mean, do you think that, honestly, like, is Conor McGregor striking, like, on a whole different level than the entire world?
I think that his striking is there with like, well, I mean, Wonderboy's striking is pretty spectacular. But I think that Yeah, I think Connors is right up there. I think his striking is on a different level than most people, yeah.
All right.
I mean, who knows? Like you said, things have been very advantageous for him. And in this regard, the problem is, Evan, is like, let's say Conor McGregor comes out and stings Nate and finishes him in the first round. There's already a built-in excuse. You know, Nate Diaz only had 10 days. You know, people continuously drop out of fights with Conor McGregor. And as a result, he's facing guys that aren't having full camps. It's not his fault. I mean, Jose Aldo had a full camp. Okay, well, we've lost Dion and Evan right now. So what we're going to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have Shayna Baszler on the program. We'll talk MMA, pro wrestling, and whatever else Evan Showman can think of. So hold on, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody, to Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman here with my man Dan Rose. And on the air, we have the Queen of Spades, Miss Shayna Baszler. Shayna, what's going on? You are busy as a bee in that squared circle right now.
That's the way I like it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, last I saw, you were like, I got to get this, what was it? EMT license, and you're like, I gotta save lives,
yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you should take lives, and then you're like, I know, and now you're, you know, now every week I'm seeing posts of you, you know, kind of doing your thing, like in the ring. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a natural progression. I think I come from a catch wrestling background, and if anyone follows Josh Barnett and the lineage that I come from, even in a mixed martial arts sense, it makes sense that I'm pro wrestling, you know?
So how deep into it are you now? It seems like it's been like about a year, right, that you've been doing this?
Yeah, it's been, well, my first match was in last September, but I've been training for it. My last fight was last March, and I tore my ACL. And once I got all recovered from that, it's been pretty much, it's about 50-50, my pro wrestling training and mixed martial art. I'm still training. I'm still on the fight team at CSW, so I still have my commitments there. But it turned a lot more serious about pro wrestling when I came back from that. And I kind of think I was feeling burnout from 15-16 years of doing that sport, and maybe even a bit jaded at what has become of the sport. But Josh had me work a couple matches, just more or less to reignite my passion for being in the gym, and it definitely worked. And I don't know, I'm just loving it. You know, it's two sides of the same coin, fighting and wrestling. So I like being the the wrestling evangelist for everyone.
Well, it just seemed like at one point close to WrestleMania last year, again, about a year ago, that you were just kind of like, you kind of stepped it up like, all right, this is the route I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. And then, you know, then the promos start coming and the pictures of you, you know, jumping off of top ropes are coming. And I'm like, oh, okay, so she's really doing this. So I'm assuming the EMT thing is done and this is somewhere you're going, because I know you have a lot of connections in the wrestling world to, you know, get to where you want to go.
Yeah, you know, I was doing the EMT thing because I was going the firefighter route because I thought, man, you know, they're required to work out and it's a good job and it's all this. You have to have your EMT to do that. But you know, I went through the whole process. I got offered the fire department job, and then the ultimate fighter happened. And I thought, well, I don't have a lot of time left that I'll be able to do that. So I can always come back to this. So I think that was like the fork in the road where I chose to do the ultimate fighter, and it just kind of led me down this path. I've been a pro wrestling fan forever since the beginning of time, of Queen of Spades time anyway. And honestly, and I don't want to like turn it into a bitching about, I can swear on here, right?
Absolutely.
I don't want to turn it into like bitching about MMA or whatever, but I think kind of the turning point was when I hurt my knee in my last fight and kind of the fallout with fans and everything. And then the more I went to the opportunities with pro wrestling were more like, hey, I'm a fan of the show, come backstage, meet us, train with us, whatever. And the more I was around the subculture of pro wrestling, I fell in love with the fact that, for the most part, and there's always exceptions, pro wrestling fans have a deep respect for the history of pro wrestling and all that goes into the sacrifice on your body that you have to go through. Even if, you know, someone like Ric Flair, who spent his entire career getting booed and hated, is revered now because pro wrestling fans understand what it is that you have to put your body through just so that they can go out and swill beer and have a good time with their friends for a night. And it's the same in MMA, right? Like, fans go to an MMA event to have a good time. They want to see some fights. They want to drink some beer. They want to bring their friends. But, like, they could give two shits about the history. And if you lose, it doesn't matter what you've been through. You're, like, you know, yesterday's news. And it's just, there's no appreciation for the history of the sport. And I think that's what I started falling in love with as I got more into the subculture of pro wrestling. And I just kind of, oh, it was nice to put work in and fall off of turnbuckles and get appreciated for it.
You know, it's interesting because these days it seems like the indies, not as many people are going the indies route. It's almost like in, you know, MMA, people want to make it to the UFC, they go on the Ultimate Fighter. Now it's like, you know, you're trying to get a tryout for NXT, going that route. But you seem to actually be doing like the old school way, like, fuck it, I'm eating ramen and I'm doing the indies every weekend. This is like, and I'm going to get there on my own accord. Because I'm assuming, I mean, I know you have a lot of connections with the WWE, like Natty. I know you train with Natty, to where eventually when you're spot on all the time with your wrestling, they'll give you the call and they'll give you an invite if they haven't already.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very conscious decision because the truth of the matter is I'm a phone call or two away of getting an NXT tryout if I wanted to. If that's the route I really wanted to go, I mean, Josh is good friends with William Regal. Yeah, I train with Natty, and I'm really connected to a lot of big name guys on the indies that could make the right phone calls for me if I wanted. But I think because of how old school I am in the MMA sense, and how I had to work my way up, and the respect I have for that path, I didn't want to jump in. There's some of these girls and guys that have been on the indies for like 10, 20 years. You know what I mean? And they're still having to work like a bartending job. And I know how that feels. So I didn't want to come in like, oh, I'm a fucking UFC fighter, so I'm going to main event and I'm cool and I'm going to do this because I already know how. Like, I want to pay my dues. I want to learn the craft. I want to really give respect to the art. I don't want to just come in and toot my horn and get a bunch of fans and make a bunch of money. That's not what it is. I want to do it right. I want to earn the respect of the locker room, you know? So And also, for people that really follow pro wrestling, the indies are kind of cooler than a lot of the stuff you'll see on TV by the big name companies. So I want to do all the cool stuff. All the guys you love in the WWE came from the indies. You know, you're talking like Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose, Cesaro, all these guys that are your favorites came up through the indies. And especially with Triple H and NXT dipping into the indies more, I just think it's a smart route to go rather than just making a phone call and learning how to wrestle at the Performance Center, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, look at AJ. I wouldn't say AJ Styles was in the indies, being that he was in TNA for so long, but, you know, 37 years old, he makes his WWE debut, or re-debut. I think that, you know, it's a good thing, and look at how over he was during the Royal Rumble. He hadn't even stepped foot in the ring, and people lost their damn mind.
Yeah, and I mean, he's putting on consistently great matches. I mean, talking to a friend of mine about how if you would put his program, if you would stick any other character right now into the program that they put AJ Styles in, it'd be like shuffled down to the crap you'd go to the bathroom during when it came on. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a whatever program they have him in right now, but you tune in because he has consistently good matches. And I think that, again, comes from that indie. And it's no knock on these guys. Like, everybody likes to hate on Cena and Roman and all that. But the thing is they came from that farmed-out kind of WWE stamp. And it's refreshing to see these guys that came up through that other path because they come with new ideas and new ring psychology and new movesets even. And it's just a different look. It's cool. I you know, that's all the more reason that I'm going the indie route.
It seems like to me that when you look at the guys that have come up through the indies, they also have something in common where they might not all have the characteristic WWE look. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them take that route because out of necessity. And as a result, when they get to the WWE, they have a skill set that's a lot deeper than a lot of the big, you know, muscle guys that were given opportunities just because of their look.
Right, and a more developed character, I think. They have to, they can't use their physique a lot of times to impress the audience. They have to connect with the audience on a psychological level. So they're already a step ahead as far as that as well. Asuka, she doesn't have the typical diva look even. I mean, she's still an in-shape athlete, but she's has some softer lines and she doesn't have a great big rack. You know what I mean? Like but she's gnarly and she hits hard and she comes from the indies. She comes from like Shimmer and that Joshi wrestling over in Japan. It's crazy. So, I think right now, you know, I don't have a great big rack. Although I'd like to say I'm pretty physique-wise doing fairly well. But I don't have a diva look, you know. I'm not going to come out there like Eva Marie or Summer Rae or whatever. So I think I have to use my character, and I like learning to connect with the audience. It's just going to make... I don't know. It just makes more sense when I sit back and think about it. It's great to look at dollar signs and popularity and say I could go do this NXT WWE thing right now, but really the truth of the matter is I would rather go to NXT and get pushed to TV in a month or two, like Asuka did, rather than go to NXT, live in the dorms or whatever for 3 years, fighting for a chance to get on TV. Like I'd rather be developed, know who I am in the ring, know how to connect immediately when I get there. I want to get that all ironed out on the indies where there's not as many eyes, so that when there is eyes on it, I'm on.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Shayna, because Dan, myself, and Dion, who was supposed to be here.
Dion.
But this is just what he does. He's on Dion time. We always talk about a lot of that stuff, like, you know, the unwarranted pushes that they give people, just like Eva Marie, because she has a rack, you know? I mean, but mm-hmm. In my opinion, they are failing miserably from her, because before she even steps in the ring, before she even gets down the ramp, they're chanting, "You can't wrestle." And who the hell wants that? Because, I mean, even if she becomes the next Finn Balor of women, there's still, it's going to be with her forever.
Right. And I think it's the thing I always talk about with, we have a group of friends that get together and watches Raw and NXT and all the network stuff. I think the thing right now with the Divas is it's on a cusp of something, right? So if you have these girls that can wrestle, your Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks and Charlotte, and Bayley, right? They started this revolution and whatnot. But the thing is they still, there's something holding them back, right? There's something like, they're still not, like, they move them up to the main roster. What's the deal? So I think really what it is the background I come from, and hopefully once I figure out, you know, get my footing on the indies and I'm finding myself and I'm really getting over, I can bring this reality back to it, because the truth is, pro wrestling is supposed to be a fight, right? Yes, it's scripted, we all know this, but it's supposed to mimic a fight. So it's a staged stunt show of MMA, right, for, like, simpler terms. So, like, even someone like Sasha Banks, who's one of the best wrestlers, male or female, on the roster, I think, yeah. Right? Or Bayley, like, if I were going to be, let's put that now in a UFC octagon. So if I'm standing in the octagon and Sasha Banks is coming down the ring, I'd be like, oh my God, are you serious? Like, she thinks she can fight? I think what they're lacking is characters that you can take seriously. Like, the guys, even the most cartoony of characters, like Bray Wyatt, his character, when you really look at it, is ridiculous. Like, oh, he's this crazy cult leader from the swamps, right? And Bray Wyatt's one of my favorite guys. I really think they're misusing him, but that's a whole other topic. But
Shut up, Evan.
You can tell.
Oh, anyway, he's laughing. Shayna, he's laughing because we discuss this every week about how misused he is and how.
I love Bray Wyatt.
Because Dan loves Bray Wyatt, and they couldn't possibly be using him worse.
I know. But yeah, that you could do a whole show on that. But even Bray Wyatt, who's when you step back, or I guess even like, I don't know, like the Undertaker, like you can tell these guys come to the ring and they think they are a badass. Like they think they're a badass, and they're in the ring fighting over who's the biggest badass. But when the girls come out, they're fighting over who's the biggest bitch. And there's a big difference between, you know, when you watch Holly Holm and Misha Tate, you're not going to watch them come to the ring and fight over who's the biggest bitch. It's going to be who's the biggest badass. And you could even argue, well, Ronda Rousey's a big bitch, but like when she gets in the ring against whoever, it's who's the biggest badass. And I think they lack characters that especially with the women, that it's like, who's a badass? Like Charlotte's pretty close, right? She's the closest thing. She comes in and it's kind of like that entitled Flair thing, but she thinks she's a badass. And she's the only one that I think is getting it as far as that type of character. And I think I bring this reality of being a badass. That's if you've seen any of my indie stuff, I'm a heel and I'm a douchebag MMA person. Like I come in like, you guys do this wrestling, girly, you're worrying about your hair and putting your makeup on, this is a fight, I'm going to do this for real, and the crowd hates me, and, you know, so I think that there's no question, though, that when I'm coming to the ring or when I'm cutting promos, I think I'm a badass, you know? So I think once the Divas, now they have the skill, clearly, now it's just getting characters that you can believe are badasses. Right, like, well, Sasha Banks is a badass. She had the title. No, I'm talking about the badasses that you think could get in a fight in an octagon or whatever and actually believe that they could get in there and be competitive. And that's they're just missing it. They're missing this character diversity, you know?
I just had an image in my head of Nikki Bella's theme song playing and her walking down to the UFC octagon.
You can lift what you can't touch.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly in the octagon. But yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. There's nobody that you think, wow, that, I mean, Natty could very well be that person. Because she legit is a badass.
She comes Stu Hart was a legit dude that was locking people up. Yes, and she's the only girl that's ever come out of the dungeon. And she's a total badass, but, you know, she gets caught up in these lame, tired storylines. Like, oh, someone used to be best friends and is now a bitch again. That's the same old stupid storyline. Like, it's...
I think Total Divas is totally... I don't know if you watch
it
or not.
You're contributing to that by watching that show.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. The thing about Total Divas, it's like it gave them a platform, you know, momentarily to get some additional fame and whatnot. But that show has ruined forever the notion that any of those girls are legitimately tough or would be legitimately tough. And
right.
That's
and
kind
I
of
think,
a shame.
I think that there's a way to make that show work alongside. But from my understanding, and this is just from wrestlers that I know are in the business on that show or whatever, that Vince doesn't understand the reality TV thing as much, and he doesn't understand that they could have a reality show and then have a completely different character on the WWE, and fans can set aside their belief and still believe in that character. So he's still old school as far as kayfabing and keeping everything, so for a long time, and it just had changed recently when Nikki had the belt. I know that they were never going to put the belt on someone that was on Total Divas because the time was different, and he didn't want someone to be a champion in the WWE, but she didn't have the belt on the show because they had filmed it previous.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he finally came around and realized that, so I don't know, maybe it'll change, but yeah, the show, I don't know, it's because it's not even the show. It's because they are those same characters in wrestling. Like, Bray Wyatt does not walk around like, I am the rocks of the eternal shore, and I will kill your god. You know, like, he's a normal dude. And I think people could watch a show where he's being a normal dude and be totally intrigued, and then watch him wrestle and be Bray Wyatt. And I think people now, this day and age especially, would be able to process that and do it. It's just... Vince is still old school and doesn't think it would work.
Yeah. I think the only person in the WWE that is his character 24/7 is Brock Lesnar. Lost Evan. He just dropped off the call, of course, but he'll be right back. But, like, Evan always likes to say that there is no script with Brock Lesnar. You just wind him up, turn him loose, he does what he does. And half the roster's probably scared of him, and the other half probably avoids him, but he's the only one that I think lives his gimmick all the time.
Well, all the best gimmicks are a piece of their real selves anyway. That's what wrestlers always tell me. So, you know, even though Bray doesn't probably, we're talking about Bray, but, like, even though he probably doesn't walk around saying that stuff, he's probably that character, like, in his mind or something, or when he plays video games, he has that character or whatever. But, It's interesting, yeah. You just push the start button on Brock and make sure he's fully charged up in the wall socket.
That's exactly right. You let Paul Heyman do his talking, and he goes out there and he throws TVs at fans. Sometimes he tears car doors off of Cadillacs and accidentally hits
throws them at fans.
With it. It happens. It's Brock Lesnar. It's collateral damage. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. The world of wrestling is absolutely crazy, and for all the people that look down their nose at the fans of wrestling, the one thing you can say is you can't trick them. You can't fool wrestling fans. They know
right. And it's the thing too is that I always tell people, because, you know, I come from the MMA world, so I get, I guess a heel in the MMA world, being associated with Ronda and just the asshole that I was on season 18. Like, the thing is MMA fans will be like, oh, that's that. You know, that's fake, right? It's like, you're telling me that as though millions of pro wrestling fans all over the world are fooled into thinking this is a real fight. That's not it. It's that wrestling fans really truly have a higher understanding of pro wrestling than non-wrestling fans. And that's,
yeah, it's
not that they can tell when someone's faking it too hard. They can tell when it's real. They can watch a person wrestle and tell if they can wrestle or not. It's
absolutely
pro wrestling fans are smart.
Yeah, and despite all the words otherwise, I mean, there's so many people on my timeline, because I, you know, MMA 90% of the time on my timeline, but then during WWE pay-per-views or Raw, I talk WWE and people are like, I can't believe you watch that. That stuff's fake. And it's like, you know, I just saw you tweeting about Star Wars last night.
Right.
You realize that doesn't happen, right? You realize that's on a soundstage somewhere. It's like, it's entertainment.
I always compare it to a magician, and I do a lot of work with Chavo Guerrero Jr., and
yeah.
One of the things he said to me when I first started working with him was, good pro wrestling is like a magician, where you all know it's fake. You go to the show, you know he's not actually cutting that lady in half, but if he does it right, and he does well, you come away from the show going, I don't know, man. I don't know how he could have done that. He had to have cut her in half. And that's pro wrestling.
Yeah.
You know they're not hurting each other, per se. But if they do it right, you come away from the show and you're like, I have no idea how he survived that. There's no way. He's dead, for sure. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. You think he really hurt his ankle? I think he did. I think, you know,
that's the funniest part, too, is everybody's talking about it, you know, after an event, you know, like, well, I don't know, what do you think happened with Roman? Do you think he really shattered his nose? Do you think, you know, and it's just like, that's what's cool about it. I mean, it's,
yeah,
like you said, you suspend disbelief, you go along for, you buy the ticket and you take the ride.
Yeah. If you went to, like you were talking about Star Wars, if you went to Star Wars and stood outside and told everyone, you know that they aren't really fighting with lightsabers, right? He didn't really cut his arm off. Like, you know that that's, like, Hollywood, and, you know, you get out of here. Of course not. It's a movie.
Yoda's
you
a
go
puppet.
In and you're...
That's debate.
Don't talk about Star Wars with Evan.
The new Star Wars, right? And hopefully everyone's seen it by now, because here's major spoiler stuff. But when Han Solo finally gets, like, killed, it punched me in the gut. Right? But he's not dead. It's not like somebody really died. But, like, people for some reason can't do that for pro wrestling. Like, come on, that broke my heart when Seth Rollins turned on the shield, you know?
Oh,
like, it's...
Well, I hear you.
And it's like a single tear rolled down Shayna's face.
No. I tell you what, when Daniel Bryan was talking about his retirement speech and he was just standing there and listening to the crowd chant, there might have been a tear.
Shayna.
I don't want to give away
thank
any
you. Thank you,
weak
Shayna.
Spot in my heart.
Shayna.
But, yeah.
Evan gives us a hard time all the time about it because it's an emotional thing. I mean, that's when, like, we always talk about when Shawn Michaels retired, our other host, Dion, cried.
See, now, just so you know, Dion's here.
Ah, well, you cried. I'm not saying anything that's not true. And, like, you know, Evan
so
gives
much,
me a hard time because sometimes I get emotional at these things, too. And Evan's broken inside. He hasn't cried since he was, like, 12.
Come on.
When Ric Flair's last match was with Shawn Michaels.
I'm sorry.
Evan
still,
makes fun of it.
If I were to pull that up today, I would still cry.
Thank you. Evan makes fun of it all the time.
But you know who? Okay, but you know who I was the biggest fan of was Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it's because he never, you know, he was never like never. When you seen Steve Austin get choked up, never. And that goes back to what you were saying, Shane, about the badass thing. That even you don't know when Stone Cold's cutting a promo or when he's
plugging beer or talking about Broken Skull Ranch. It's all the same thing.
It's true.
That's true. It's like, but, I don't know. There's something, if you could just, I don't know, I think people, I think there's something wrong with a person if they can't watch it and at least be like, come on, you can watch Doc McStuffins with your kid, but you can't watch pro wrestling? It blows my mind. Like, okay, you only like real fights. Yeah. Let's go back and watch this guy wrestle fuck this other guy for 5 rounds and tell me how into it and emotional you are, you know? Like, at least it's fun. Like, it's just fun. None of those guys are claiming to be anything than what they are. Just wrestlers, entertainers. God, just go fucking have a good time.
You know what? And that's why it kills me that people are just, like, relentlessly boo John Cena and Roman Reigns. I'm just like, what don't you like about, like, I understand, you know, he does look like, John Cena's, you know, with the hat and the wristbands and the armbands and the leg bands and the jean shorts and all that. I get how you wouldn't want, maybe not be interested in that. But to not like the guy, like, dude, with all the, like, what's it called? The Make-A-Wish
Foundations?
Like,
but, like, when they're booing John Cena, they're booing his, they're just...
You're booing
they're
Jesus.
They're not booing his good deeds. You know, they're not booing the man. They're just, it's a character, and to me, that, it bothers me, too, because I'm a big John Cena fan. But to me, I understand that. It's cool to be, like... It's cool to boo the bad guy or the good guy. It's cool to back the bad guy. And your guy Stone Cold Steve Austin is the reason why that's the case.
Yep.
He blurred that line.
That's why
he
Bret
blurred
Hart
that line forever.
Dion is from a predominantly wrestling background here. He doesn't know much about the whole MMA side of things. So he's listening to you say the things like, yeah, Bret Hart this and the dungeon that. And he's looking at me and he keeps motioning like, she knows her shit. And I'm like, yeah. That's why we got Shayna on the show. Because you're going to see Shayna on Raw in the next few years. We keep seeing you. Keep seeing you in the crowd. It looks like you and Jessamine are pretty religious about it at this point of Anaheim, LA area. You guys you're going, right?
Yeah, if it's in the area and we don't have something going on, we're there. There's nothing more fun than live pro wrestling. We're there.
Plus, you guys get to sit right there on the rail and.
Yeah, I mean, now that I train with some of those people, we get some good seats to go watch those guys do their work.
Okay, so we're going to go into a little bit of fantasy world here, okay?
Uh-oh. This is where I drop off.
Dan, you drop off when we start. So.
Oh! Ouch!
There's all kinds of things I want to figure out here. Because Shayna, she's the queen of spades. Finisher moves, Shayna. I'm talking like Tajiri had the green mist. Like, what is, like, do you have a thing, like, with Damien, like the snake in the corner? Like, oh, I just fucked him up. No, I'm with Damien out and put it on him. Where you could just do, like, because Josh Barnett has told me that you do sleight of hand card tricks. And I think if you're the queen of spades, you could work that in somewhere, like, gambit style, like,
actually, hilariously, I have been toying around with a gambit character, Queen of Spades type of card flares and that sort of a character. It's just for right now, I'm too known for being a fighter, so I have this ready-made gimmick, and I want to ride it out while it's easy, you know.
I keep having this dream where the Raw comes on and they show Eva Marie in the back and she's all laid out and there's just a Queen of Spades laying on her.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And then next week, you know, it's another one and there's just a Queen of Spades laying there and then boom, you make your debut.
Right?
Yeah, that's nice.
Dropping some knowledge right now.
If that ever happens, you can be like, listen to this audio recording of what I called this years ago.
There you go.
It's like dropping the Joker card on your victim, you know?
It is. It's 100% money. When you said we were going to go like fantasy, I thought you meant we were going to start talking about Star Wars and stuff. So I was like, I'm out of here.
No. That's...
I do have a few times I've laid someone out, and after they're laid out in the middle and I pinned them or submitted them or whatever, I drop a Queen of Spades card on them after the match. But I've never
that's
used
nice.
It as like a signature for a hidden crime, so to speak. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty neat.
Oh, hell yeah. Now I'm getting excited about it. I'm like, ooh, this could be another drawing, you know? someone laid out in the back, and they're like, by God, who did this? She has a family! And there's a Queen of Spades card just right on her forehead. Just,
Yeah.
We could call it the Shea Bay bag. She'd just drop it on her face.
Jesus.
I should
or
learn to
different.
Do those crazy guys that throw cards. That, like, throw cards and stick it in, like, watermelons and, like, cardboard. That way, like, someone could be standing there and I go, and throw one and it, like, sticks in the drywall right by their face or something.
Hell yeah! I'm telling you, there's Dan, this is the fantasy I'm talking about. These are the things that, you know, every week I'm watching Raw and I'm hoping, Shayna, my thing, and I'm saying this weekly here, my thing is, if you want people to tune into Raw, you have to constantly be surprising the fans, not like marketing it like, oh, The Undertaker's going to be on the show on Monday. No, if The Undertaker is on the show on Monday, you'll keep tuning in. You know, they didn't announce Shane was coming, so when he popped out, everybody lost their damn mind.
Blew up.
His best thing ever.
Now, that's the kind of thing, like, but they won't, like, cross that line. Like I was saying, they had the perfect opportunity. Well, I think Vince was like, he was off his ass. He's been cutting the worst promos, but it was like around the new year. You know, he was like, Happy New Year, pal! Like he was doing that.
Happy New Year, pal!
He was doing that thing to Roman Reigns, and Stone Cold was in the back about to do the Stone Cold podcast. All he needed to do, if his music hit, and he came out and was like, Vince, you remember the feud we used to have. Don't make me come down here and whip your ass. You need to straighten up, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. Fans would have lost their mind, and they would have tuned in the next week to see what would have happened, even if Austin didn't show up.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the one of the problems, though, nowadays with pro wrestling, or specifically, I guess, the WWE, is that before the TV show was meant to tease and draw you into the live shows. And now it's backwards, where the live shows are a tease and meant to draw you into the recorded shows. And yes, Raw's live, but it's for TV, right? It's not really made to be live. And I think it makes it harder in how you promote, because do we want to let everyone know that The Undertaker's going to be here and sell more tickets to the event because everyone's going to be here, or do we really want to tease Raw, not do it, and then have it be this big surprise? It's like they have to choose one or the other and just stick with it, I think. Like, if it's known, there's always surprises. There should be a surprise. Then people will always go. They'll always tune in on the hope of a surprise. But if they're going to announce it every time, you know, then we know only the surprises happen on pay-per-views or something, or the Raw after Mania surprises.
Yeah.
I would really hate to be a promoter for the WWE in the landscape with social media and everything today. It's such a different landscape, and it's much different than MMA. It's, you know, when everybody was booing that Roman won the title on Fastlane. Like, it was a great match. Yeah, the ending was maybe a bit flat, but that happens. But, like, to see the hashtag that people were going to cancel the network subscription or whatever, like, it just, like, if you hate it, that's good, too. Like, don't you realize that? If the WWE just did everything you wanted, it would be boring. Like, if you hated that Roman one, that's good, too.
You're getting invested emotionally.
social media tantrum and cancel their network, and now they have to throw, you know, they're losing money and all that. Like, come on. You're supposed to hate it also.
I can't remember. Was the camera on you when The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania? Because I remember a video.
I posted a picture. I posted a thing on Instagram that I had one of my hometown friends was visiting, and Jeff and myself, we were watching, and my other friend got the reaction of us when Undertaker lost. Yeah, it's somewhere down there on Instagram.
Yeah, because I remember you were visibly upset with the whole thing. I mean, the whole world was like, what? Like, and I think that loss is what made Brock Lesnar just the greatest of all time.
It's crazy because, leading up to it, I thought I was cheering for Brock. Because I'm like, you know, Brock, and he's a fighter, and he's from the Midwest, he's from South Dakota, like, I was cheering for Brock. And I remember, like, you have discussions where you suspend your belief, and I remember talking to my friend that was visiting, his name's Isaac. I remember being like, I don't know, man, you know, Brock could be the one. It's true. Nobody else. I mean, if it was going to be anyone, it would be Brock, you know, but nobody, Undertaker never loses at Mania, but I don't know. Why would it be CM Punk? Why would it be Heartbreak Kid? It could be Brock, if any of them, you know, and we're talking to this like it's real. And then when it happened, I found that actually my heart was in love with the streak, and I loved The Undertaker, because my heart was like, no. Like, I thought I was cheering for Brock, and I was like, no, what? Ah. So it was, yeah, that was awesome to silence 80,000 people with an action scene. Think about that. That's awesome. That's what wrestling is.
That was crazy.
That was one of the most, like, holy shit without the holy shit chant moments in WWE, because it was like, no way that just happened. And for some reason, the cameraman was able to find the most stunned people in the arena, especially that black guy.
The famous meme.
Yeah, that guy was, like, freaking out. Just like, what?
So, you know,
I'm pretty sure I was making that same face, though.
I got to see this picture. That's hilarious.
What do you think for this year?
I don't know. I think as much as everyone's talking about the lull that the WWE is in right now, I think that we're in for some really cool times coming up, because everybody's going to be coming off the injured list and coming back and returning. Like, imagine the pop that Rollins is going to get when he returns, you know? Oh, and here's I had this theory, and this is totally theory. This isn't any inside info or anything. This is me that was doing my fantasy booking in my head with some friends. Is Rollins was competing at the CrossFit Open. And so he's clearly healthy. He's probably still rehabbing, whatever. But I was like, man, what if, because there's no way that Rollins returns to heel heat anymore. He's going to come to this huge babyface pop. And so what if he comes back and that's how Roman wins at WrestleMania, because Rollins comes out to help him. That's how you get Roman over. That's how Rollins comes back to this huge babyface pop. There's this huge reunion. Triple H is the bad guy. You know, like, I don't know. I think it'd be cool. But I think right around that WrestleMania time or whatever is going to be a lot of guys are supposed to come back. You know, Cena's going to come back. Cesaro is going to come back. I think we're in for some cool stuff coming, especially all the indie guys that are being brought up. Nakamura's going to be here soon. It's going to be crazy.
Let's not forget about Randy Orton.
Orton,
yeah,
yes,
we can forget about
Orton. We have the Bullet Club. What if the Bullet Club becomes like the new NWO, and it's like Finn Balor moves up and
Samoa Joe's coming up, right?
I think so. So
I
have some good things coming.
Well, let me tell you.
And that's how wrestling is.
Right? It's fun. And you know why? Because it's the surprises that are coming up in the future.
Well, and it's like, whenever there's a dry spell, there's an awesome thing. Like, it's an upswing. It's like a sine wave of excitement, so to speak. There's lulls, but there's also really fucking great times.
You know what's awesome, and Dion has no idea I'm about to ask you this, but you get to have a live reaction. Who's your favorite football team, Shayna?
My heart bleeds purple and gold.
Was that Dion breathing in like that?
That was Dion.
Oh, jeez. Dion acted like someone just gave him a dozen roses.
Shut up, Dan.
Put you a blast like that.
Sorry, Dion.
Yeah, Dion is a huge mark for the Minnesota Vikings, so I'm pretty sure you
moved. The Minnesota Vikings were my first, like, sports thing that I really fell in love with.
How did you feel after Blair Walsh just sank that field goal?
I couldn't. It was like Gary Anderson all over again.
Oh, my God. You're right.
So here is another fantasy thing of mine, aside from the fact that Jessamine and Rhonda are in your crew. But that's neither here nor there. But a four horsemen confronting four horsemen at WrestleMania. Horsewomen, sorry.
I would love that. Except the problem right now is that they are the four horsewomen, not as their characters. That's breaking the fourth wall down. They're the four horsewomen because they work together at NXT, but really, like, Charlotte's feuding with Becky Lynch and Sasha, and they're, like, Bayley's not even there right now, and it's different because we're the four horsewomen because we are a team and we fight.
You guys are
and,
four horsewomen 24/7.
Right. And it's not just something we pretend, you know what I mean? So they would have to do something storyline-wise where suddenly those four were friends in order for it to be a thing. I mean, I don't know. It's wrestling, so anything could happen. But I would love to. I'm glad that they decided to start using that gimmick after we made it relevant again.
Don't think I didn't see the one time when Charlotte was still a face and she looked at you and gave the Four Horsemen sign while in the ring. She broke kayfabe. Don't think I didn't see it on television, Shayna.
Well, what's funny is we've been pushing for this angle, right? We've been like, man, because Rhonda did her thing at WrestleMania or whatever, and we're like, oh, my God, we totally could do this thing. And so when that happened, I was like, I was with Marina and Jess, and Rhonda was off saving the world somewhere again. But, like, I was like, all right, guys, kayfabe, we're really pissed off at him. And so we were looking at him like mean mugging. We threw our fours up, like, with mean faces, pointed at each other like, we're the four horsemen, bitch. And she was like, oh, my God, and started smiling and waving and putting fours up. And after the lights went down, she came over and said hi. And we're like, oh, God, we're supposed to, like, help out the story here, you know. But I would love to have a feud with them because, I don't know, I posted a picture, too, of Ric Flair with the four of us throwing up the fours and Ric Flair with the four of them, and he's not throwing up the fours.
Nice.
So, we're the ones that are endorsed, even though his own daughter's the one that's in. So.
There you go. That would be a fun angle. They basically gimmick.
And I've made sure to keep in touch with my friends that wrestle for the WWE and stuff to let them know that I'm working on the indies. So if the day ever comes where Rhonda gets called on to beat people up, they know that I also know how to wrestle and I know how to bump and... so here I am, putting work in and knowing how to wrestle. So there you go.
Has Jess and Marina, have they put any time in the ring, or would they just be like China, like in the background, just their arms folded?
Well, Jess is my training dummy. So when I'm like, hey, Jess, let me do this power bomb on you, she's the one that gets to be the... Yeah, so she's that one. And she has accompanied me to the ring because the Four Horsewomen gimmick works when I wrestle at the right places, and so she's accompanied me and caused some distractions and things like that. I think I actually accidentally punched her once. So and Marina, of course, is engaged to a pro wrestler, so she's played around at pro wrestling schools and shown me things that she's learned and stuff like that too. So we're all kind of involved in it. We all love it.
Marina's doing a different kind of power bomb.
Stay classy, Evan.
Yes.
Shayna, yeah.
Her power bomb is a bit of a different finisher than mine is.
What is your finisher? Before, I know you got to get rolling here, but what is your finisher?
I do a Tiger Driver armbar that I haven't really named anything yet because I've changed my finisher since I'm still pretty green. I've changed my finisher a few times, but I really dig that Tiger Driver armbar. There's a video up on my Instagram of it, I think. And the Thunderfire Powerbomb, which is a version of the Powerbomb. It's not really a Powerbomb.
Okay. Well, yeah, we could definitely change something to, like, a move called the Queen's Disciple, you know?
Yeah. I've played around with, like, the Queen's Sacrifice, or that doesn't make sense because I should be the one that has, like, the Queen's Decree. I've played around with some names, but it'll figure itself out. This is the type of shit that why I'm wrestling on the indie, so that I have it all nailed down by the time I get to the big show.
Just come on shows like this, because you don't talk about, and we come up with super ideas. Best idea was definitely by Dan, by far today, with the little calling card. I think that's
the card, yeah.
I'm working on a finishing name, too. I'll get back to you guys on that.
All right, Shayna. So before we let you go, anything you want to plug? Website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anything?
Yeah, I'm QOS Baszler on everything, Queen of Spades, QOS Baszler. So that's my Facebook page, that's my Twitter, that's my Instagram. And then if you guys would please, follow me on Score and just click this stuff, even if you don't like looking at it, because Score really is, you know, I know a lot of people have had some mixed feelings about them, but they really are trying to help the athletes out, and I really want them to be successful, so SQOR, but that's the ones that I'm mainly on.
All right, well, there you go.
Oh, and go get my t-shirt at athletetees.com. Get the Queen of Spades t-shirt, Shayna Baszler.
AthleteTees.com?
AthleteTees, T-E-E-S. AthleteTees.com, and then go to Shayna Baszler, and I have the Four Horsemen shirts and Queen of Spades shirts on there.
We'll throw those up on the website, too, so people can see them.
Awesome.
All right, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's our show. We thank Miss Shayna Baszler for coming on the show, and we'll see you next week, hopefully with another fantastic guest, but no one's going to go close to Shayna, so.
No, this is the best one yet.
They never do.
This is our last show, ladies and gentlemen, so we're done.